All right, let's move on here to lesson number five on how to spoil the devil's plan for your life. And we're going to the second part of knowing the power of words. What we're going to learn tonight is that words we speak are seed planted in our life. Now, this all ties together real well, and I think at the end of the lesson tonight, you're going to understand this whole principle much better. So open your Bibles to Mark chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 23. Since we took so long with the homework earlier tonight, I think I'm going to read this one myself.
Mark
chapter 11, verse 23. Now, let me just recap this story. It starts in verse 12, and I'm going to go through this a little bit because I want to set the stage for this. Jesus and his disciples are down around, he's teaching in Jerusalem during the day, and at night, Jesus had to go and sleep, and like everybody else did. You know, he was God, but he was man too, and he was on the earth. And he'd go and stay at his friend's house in Bethany at Mary, Lazarus, and Martha's house. So it says in verse 12, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was hungry. And seeing a fig tree far off having leaves, he came to it, if haply he might find anything growing thereon. And when he came to the tree, he found nothing on it but leaves. In other words, no fruit, no figs. For the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto the tree, he's talking to a tree now, okay? No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. He says this to the tree. He says to the tree, he calls it thee even. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So he said it out loud. And then they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple. And it talks about him being in the temple, and this is where he cast out the money changers and all that. But that's not the point of our story. So I'm going to skip down to verse 19. And when even was come, Jesus went out of the city. Now it's evening, and he's going back to Bethany. So he goes back to Bethany, he spends the night. And in the morning, here he is, heading to Jerusalem again. And in the morning, as they passed by, they, meaning the disciples, saw the fig tree dried up from its roots. In other words, it was dead. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto Jesus, Master, behold, the fig tree you cursed has withered away. And Jesus answered Peter and said unto him, now this is interesting, this is where it really gets interesting. He says, Peter, have the faith of God. Or you might say this, have the God kind of faith. He's inviting Peter to have the same type of faith that it took Jesus to change that tree just by speaking words. He's saying, Peter, you can have the same faith. And then he gives him the principle, and this is what we call the law of words in verse 23. Now listen to what Jesus said. For truly, this is Jesus emphasizing the fact that what he's saying, everything Jesus said was true, but he's saying, truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. That is the law of words. Simply stated, it says, words we believe, when said with our mouth, will cause the thing we say to come to pass in our life. That's a law. Like the law of gravity, the law of magnetism, the law of electricity, whatever you want to talk about. This is a law. And Jesus is saying, notice he said, whosoever. He didn't say you had to be Jesus. He didn't say you had to be God. He didn't even say you had to be an apostle. He said, whosoever, this will work for whosoever. He says, I say unto you that whosoever shall say, in other words, there's that word say, unto this mountain, or this fig tree, or this problem in your life, whatever it might be, whoever shall speak unto that thing, and say it to be removed, or to change, or whatever you want it to do, and not doubt in your heart that what you say will come to pass, you will have whatsoever you say. Now, some people read that and they go, wait a minute, that couldn't be true. Wait a minute. If you start looking at the Bible like that and try to interpret in light of your experiences, you'll never get anywhere in the Bible. You have to always let the Bible interpret your experiences rather than let your experiences interpret the Bible. The thing is, the real kicker in this whole thing is you have to believe it when you say it. Okay? Now, if you just try something and say, well, I think I'll just try saying something, it won't work because you don't believe it in your heart. Believing in your heart is the deepest kind of faith that there is. Now, how do we get that kind of faith? How do we get faith to say?
Believe it in your heart.
But how do we get it there? How do we get that faith
in your heart?
By hearing. That was last week's lesson. You've got to hear it. Okay? And that's why Jesus is saying it here. So his disciples would hear it. So I would hear it. So Sue would hear it. So Karen would hear it. So Marianne would hear it. So Madge would hear it. So all of us would hear this. And it would generate faith in our hearts. The problem is, some people have taken this and they've got, wait, this can't be true. I don't think this is true. I mean, after all, a mountain moving? See, they've already lost the battle right there. Because they have not let that seed in their heart. And when you hear something and you refuse the seed, what happens? Satan comes immediately and steals the seed. Things that there are promises for in the Bible, when you hear those promises, that should generate faith in your heart. And then when you speak that those words out of your heart, out of your mouth, then things change. Now this, again, like words heard, can be good or bad, depending on what words you're saying. So make sure you hear the right word, because that's the first link in the chain that builds the faith, that determines what you're going to speak, because we speak things we believe. If you go over, if Karen goes to Sue's house and say, Sue, I've got to tell you what I just heard today, it's going to be something she really believes, because you're sisters. You love each other. You know each other, okay? God can be trusted that much, can he? That what he says is true. And so that should generate faith in our hearts when we hear it. All right? Now, the law of words says, words that we believe, when said with our mouth, will cause the thing we say to come to pass in our life. Think of this. Words cause a fig tree to die. Just words. It wasn't an axe. It wasn't a chainsaw. Wasn't some guy hooking onto it with his pickup and pulling it out with the roots. Just words. You need to let that sink down in your heart. Words. We'll say, well, Jesus did it. That's true. He did. And Jesus was the Son of God. That's true. But he said, whosoever. Whosoever. He didn't say, the Son of Man, who's come to save the world, if he says unto this mountain, be thou removed. He said, whosoever. This means this will work for anyone. Mm-hmm. All right? Putting it together. Words we speak combined with the faith produced by the words we hear are seed that grows in our lives to produce events in our life. I'm going to say that one more time. I want you to listen to this. So important. Words that we speak when combined with the faith produced by the words we hear are also seeds that grow in our lives to produce events in our life. Do you ever wonder why certain things happen in your life? A lot of times it's because of words that we've said. You know, sometimes we get in a jam in our life and we keep saying the same thing about it, so we never get out of it. You've got to say something new. You've got to say something outside the problem you're in. That's true. Something truthful from the Word of God. That's why the song, you ever hear the song based on Joel chapter 3? It says, let the weak say I am strong. You ever heard that song? Mm-hmm. Why do you think that's in the Bible? Because the only way the weak's going to become strong is when the weak is still weak, saying, no, I'm strong in the Lord. I am strong. I can do this. Now, Madge can understand why, after we prayed and found the scripture that said, lay hands on someone, and it says they shall recover. That was Mark chapter 16. And we did that together. And then I kept quoting that scripture to build faith in her heart. That when we laid hands on her, the power of God was going to go into her and begin to change things. Okay? Madge heard those. I'm just using a personal example here. Madge heard those words. And since they weren't just Mike's words, but they're based upon God's word, Mark chapter 16, we got that from, verse 18. Those words developed faith in her heart. And then, after we prayed, I said to Madge, now say, every day, as often as you think of it, Mike and I agreed together when we prayed that I would begin to see better every day. Every day I'm going to see a little better. Now see, because I'm not done, we're not done yet when we just hear the words. That's necessary because that builds the faith. But then we need to speak those words into our lives because Jesus said, whatsoever things you believe in your heart and say with your mouth will come to pass. And even if in the beginning you don't even quite believe what you're saying, as you hear yourself say them, as long as they're in line with God's word, and you hear your own word saying God's word, that faith gets built into you. Because faith comes by hearing God's word. And then as you hear that, and it builds the faith, and you begin to speak words of faith, words that you believe, if you believe something in your heart, say with your mouth, what happens? It comes to pass. That's why we're doing this. Not to be silly or anything, but because it's going to cause things to change based on God's word. Now, Matt has had a few times where she's seen flashes of very clearly for a split second or two. This is working. I really believe it is. And if you keep up believing this, you've got to believe it in your heart, though. And if you say it with your mouth, then God's word, see, promises come to pass. That's why I learned a long time ago when you pray with somebody, don't take the burden on yourself like, oh my gosh, what if I pray for somebody and nothing happens? Listen, this is God's word here. God's the one that's responsible for making these things happen, not me or somebody else. Not my responsibility. That's God's responsibility to answer and to make his own word true in our lives when we hear it, believe it, and say it. But you can't say it. You can't believe it unless you've heard it. Because remember, the law is words we believe in our heart when we say them will come to pass. Words just said won't come to pass. They have to be believed. See, you can say some dumb thing you don't believe and it's not going to affect your life because you didn't believe it. Okay? I mean, you have to believe it. But if you believe something and you say it, those words have power. Be very, very careful. I liken it to this. Think of your mouth as a gun. And think of words heard as ammunition for your gun. When you develop faith in those words that you hear, that's like taking the gun off safety. And when you speak those words, that's pulling the trigger. See, nothing really happens to change anything until that trigger is pulled. But you start a chain of events by words you hear. That develops the faith. The faith then, when spoken into words, causes things to change in your life. That's what Jesus said. That isn't my idea. I didn't invent this. I'm just reading what Jesus said here. This isn't Mike's law. It's not something Mike thought up. It's not something Mike discovered. This is something that's been around since Genesis chapter 1. Did you ever notice how God got things to change when he decided to create the universe? Mm-hmm. And God said, let there be light. Mm-hmm. He believed it in his heart. He said it with his mouth and it came to pass. Now, God is a spirit. But we are made in God's image. We are spirits also. We are spirits, we have a soul, and we live in a body. When I look at Sue across the room there, I see the house that Sue lives in. Now, her spirit inside gives it animation. That's why people say you can look into the eyes or the windows of the heart. That just means to your spirit. And what did Jesus do when he died on the cross? It says he gave up the ghost or the spirit. See, that's what death is, when the spirit leaves the body. That's all it is. When the spirit leaves your body, it has no other reason to be function. And so it just falls like a shell. We're not like a dog. Dogs don't have spirits. We are spirit beings, just like God. And because we're spirit beings, Jesus was able to come to us, who are spirit beings like God is and like he is, and say, did you know that this law that you just saw in operation is something that's been around from the beginning, and you just saw me use it on this tree, but I'm telling you that whosoever shall believe in their heart and say something with their mouth, it will come to pass. Now, he didn't say, the thing that people haven't latched onto this is it doesn't come to pass immediately. And so the event is divorced from the saying. And people haven't connected the two, and so they don't know, they don't realize, but people's lives pretty much are controlled. What they are today isn't to a large degree dependent on what they said yesterday and a year ago and 2 years ago. Now, if you want to get out of the rut that you're in, not anybody here, but I'm saying a person who does, you've got to start saying something different. Because where we are is because we're still saying the same things. And we're in that position, and if we don't change something, we're going to just stay right where we are. The way to get out of it is to start saying what God's Word says about the situation. If you got a healing problem, if you need to be healed, and you've just been saying how sick I am, and how every year at this time I get the flu, and how all this, you're just going to stay there. But if you start saying, wait a minute, God's Word said that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. Jesus took my infirmities. He bore my sickness. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, and in that curse was every sickness and every disease. I don't have to put up with this anymore. I'm not getting the flu this year because Jesus is my healer, and I'm just not absolutely flat refuse to do it. Now, you can say that two ways. You can say it because I said it, or you can say it because you believe it. And it's going to work when you say it because you believe it. And the only way you're going to believe it is to hear someone else say it. Hear the words based upon the Word of God. Build that faith in your heart. And that's what, as a teacher, you have to be patient. Because the things that you say one day won't happen with people's lives that day. But if they'll stick with it for 6 months or a year, I see changes in people that's unbelievable. They don't even realize sometimes they've changed so much. I see changes I've known you people long enough to see real changes in the way you talk, the things that you speak, the things that you don't say anymore, and things like that, simply because faith has been generated by hearing what God's Word says about things. And when you hear what God's Word says, faith gets in your heart, starts to change what you say, and if you'll start saying what God's Word says, you're going to see mighty miracles in your life. Okay. That's why Romans 4:17 says, God calls those things which be not as though they were. Why would God do that? Why would God call things that be not as though they were? Because he wants to change things. I mean, when he confessed the universe into being, was there a universe there to start with? No. But he wanted one. So he had to call those things that be not as though they were. He said, light be. And light was. That's what we're talking about here. Calling those things, let the weak say I am strong. That's calling things that be not as though they were, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Let the weak say I am strong. Why? Because we want to be strong. And if you keep calling yourself weak, you're going to stay weak. So call yourself strong, if the Word does, and you become strong. God calls those things to be not as though they were, and Jesus said, have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to do exactly the same thing. Call those things that be not as though they were. That's why Madge gets up in the morning and she says, Father, I thank you that when Mike and I prayed, something changed. The power of God is working in me right now to bring about a healing and a cure. Every day I'm seeing better. Thank you, Father. That's going to cause a change.
That's the last thing I say before I go to bed.
But see, so many times people are saying, for years I said something wrong. One day I was on my walk and the Lord corrected me. I thought I was doing the right thing. I was saying, Father, I thank you that because I was in business for myself and I wanted to be blessed and I needed customers. And so I'd say things like this, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus because I'm a tither. You promised that you open the windows of heaven and pour out upon me such a blessing I won't have room to receive it. thank you, Father, that you're going to pour out a blessing upon me. Finally, one day the Lord spoke to my heart and says, why don't you say, I am doing it? Why put it off in the future? Say, I'm doing it now. No, confess it happening now. Call those things that be not as though they are. See, I was always putting it off into the future. Lord, I believe. And that's what people do with healing sometimes. They say, Lord, I know someday you're going to heal me. Did you know that every day that you say someday God's going to heal you that ain't today? That's sometime in the future. And the next day you say it, and it's another still in the future. And the next day you say, Father, I thank you. In the future, I know you're going to heal me. It's always in the future. You never get there because of your words. You got to stop someday and say, Father, I thank you that I am healed, that Jesus took my infirmities, he bore my sickness, and because he did that, I am the healed right now. My body doesn't know it yet, but my spirit does, and my body's catching up. See, now that changes things. And do you notice something else? I'll tell you something else, too. When Jesus spoke to this fig tree, something happened at those roots right then. You just didn't see it till a day or two later in the leaves. Isn't that the way it is with plants?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But see, something happened right then. When Madge and I prayed, something happened right then in her spirit and in the spirit realm. But it doesn't affect the body until we believe it with our heart, confess it with our mouth, and stay with it. Now, you can reverse this whole process, too, by saying something else. For example, we go along pretty good. Like, you know, I could talk about my finances, and one day I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I just put a big break on everything. Because now God's got contradiction here. One minute I'm saying I'm blessed of God, and God is my provider. God meets all my needs according to his riches in Christ. And the next thing I'm saying, I don't know where I'm going to get my next, how I'm going to pay my rent. See, now there's confusion in the spirit realm. I said one thing, now I said something else. And it's nullifying the thing I said. We've got to be consistent. And the only way we're going to be consistent is to know what God's word says about a subject and stay with it. And that's why more Christians don't see success. They're saying everything else. They're saying how they feel instead of how the Bible says they are. And when you call those things to be not as though they were, it will become that way because of the law of words.
So when you do that, when you have something like that to happen, do you retract?
Yes.
Feel back and retract.
I was going to cover that next week. But yes, say, Father, I repent. I just came up with an evil report, just like those old Israelites did. I said something contrary to God's word. See, that's what they did. They brought back an evil report. They said something that was against God's word. But see, all we have to do is, Father, that wasn't right. I repent of that. That's not got your word. You said that I was healed. You said that I am prospered, that I'm a tither. And I did that one time. I didn't have any business at all. My business is shut down one time, and I was a tither and everything, and nothing was coming in. And I said every morning, I said this, I had enough sense by then to say this. I said, Father, I thank you that I don't see it right now, but there's a blessing here somewhere. It has to be, because I'm a tither, and when the heavens are open, you're pouring out upon me a blessing right now, and there's a blessing somewhere here. I just don't see it, but it's here somewhere. Even though I don't see any business, even though I don't have a dime coming in, it looks like, but Father, I'm blessed. Something mighty is here. I just don't see it right now. Show me where it is, Father. One morning he did. And he spoke to me. And he said, Mike, he said, I was working as a consultant for the auto industry at the time. Making good money and all that, but as a consultant. He says, up to now, you've been working for the hour. You work an hour, you get paid for an hour. He says, you do a job, you get paid for a job. You do a job, you get paid for a job. I want you to do one job and get paid for the same job many times. I thought, that's a good deal if you could work that. And then he showed me how to do it. He says, the thing you've been doing, and this came in my spirit, it wasn't words, it was like this. What you've been doing, working for your customers, as a consultant, you have developed a tool, this computer program I wrote, to help solve their problems. He says, you've done the work on it, sell the program. You've done that work once, you can sell it over and 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 never have to do any more work. In other words, it's sort of like having, instead of me having to spend an hour to get paid for an hour, he showed me, do this thing once and then sell that thing many times. Put it on a different disc, send it out. And you know, I did that and it changed my business entirely. I mean, fantastically more profitable. I'm saying this for my wife, so she knows it's absolutely true. I mean, I won't go into the details of it, but it was really profitable. But the Lord showed me that, and he showed me in a time of when there was apparently nothing happening financially in my life. But I knew enough about the Word of God to not be negative and say, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? God, you promised to help me. No, I'm just going down the tubes here. Everything's going, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? No. Father, there's a blessing here somewhere because your Word says so. I'm a tither. I'm living for you. I told you that when I set up this business, I was going to do it the way you wanted me to do it. There's got to be a blessing here somewhere. I went on for about 2 weeks. Finally, one morning, the Lord showed me where the blessing was and how to move in on. And that happened many times in different areas, in business, as well as other things. But God's Word, if I got one message for people, it's God's Word is true. And when we hear it, develop faith in it, and act on it, whether it's with our words or other actions, it will work. Every single time. And I'll tell you, it hurts me to look at Christians and see their faith so damaged in so many cases. They're so used to things not working, they don't really expect it to anymore. But folks, this is God's Word we're talking about here. This is not my best idea. It's not your best idea. This is what God said would happen. And if we begin to look at it that way in His Word, it gets real exciting. It's not just religion anymore. It's alive. That's why I call it Bible Alive. Website, mybiblealive.com, because my Bible alive, my Bible, your Bible will come alive when you begin to see these scriptures as God's Word, His infallible Word to you, that all you got to do is find out what your part is in this part and do it, and then it's either God's a liar or it's going to happen in your life. One of the two. And I happen to think God's not a liar. Let's just turn to Mark chapter 5 and see an example of someone who worked this thing in a wonderful way. She didn't realize what she was doing at the time, maybe exactly the steps I'm giving you, but she worked it and it absolutely worked for her. Mark chapter 5. And I'll just read this. Verse 25, Mark chapter 5. A certain woman had an issue of blood 12 years. Can you imagine? That was pretty bad. Somebody to have this kind of a situation that for 12 years of her life, she had an unending issue of blood. And she had suffered many things of many physicians. You ever suffer many things of many physicians? In other words, you go to one doctor, he'd say one thing. Go to another doctor, he'd say something else. They just couldn't quite cure you. Now, I'm not against doctors, but I'm just saying sometimes they don't know what's wrong with you. And she suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had, all the money she had. Well, maybe she got healed. It would have been worth it if she got healed, right? And was nothing better. But in fact, she was getting worse. I mean, this is a pretty pitiful state. She's had an issue of blood 12 years. She suffered many things and many physicians, spent every dime she had. And not only that, she was nothing better. In fact, was getting worse. But when she heard of Jesus, now heard. When she heard of Jesus, what happened? What happens when you hear God's Word?
When you hear God's Word, you get healed.
You get healed, but you get first, you get something called faith. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the crowd behind Jesus and touched His garment. For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, the fountain of her blood dried up. That fountain that for 12 years had never stopped. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, right here in these two verses, God gives us the whole ingredient for receiving whatever you need from Him. First, you have to hear something. And if you want to get God involved, you better hear God's Word. All right? So the first step, if you want something from God, is to hear what God's Word has to say about it. Find the scripture that covers your situation. Number two, say something based on what you've heard. For she said, in other words, she heard of Jesus. Then she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. Folks, this is always the way it works. First you hear, then you say, and then you feel in your body. First you hear, then you say, then you see it in your finances. First you hear, then you say, and you see it in your marriage. First you hear, then you say, and you see it in your children. Whatever you want, you have to hear it, you have to say it, and then you get the feeling or the result or the event in your life. Now here's the problem. Too many people want the event without the hearing and the saying. And that ain't the way it works. It isn't the way it worked for this woman. She did just come up and say, and feel in her body, she was healed of the plague just standing near Jesus. She had to do something. She had to hear about Jesus, what he was doing first. And if you read the Bible, you'll find out in Matthew, people were also getting healed by touching his garments. Maybe she heard about that and developed faith in that method. Anyway, somehow she had faith that if she touched his garment, she would be healed. I can't emphasize any more strongly that we need to hear first, then we need to say what we've heard, because the hearing will bring the faith, and then you'll say what you really believe. And then, and only then, will you feel it in your body, see it in your finances, see it in your marriage, see it in your children's lives. You see what I mean? So many times we want to see it first. We just fire off a prayer. Mary Ann calls them flare prayers. Oh God, help me, you know, with this situation. Well, our faith isn't there. We haven't heard anything, we haven't said anything, and we want to feel it in our bodies, see it in our marriage right now. And that is not the way it works. But that's the way 99% of the Christians go about it. And then they wonder why nothing happens. The scriptural way to receive from God is to hear first the promise. Second, it develops faith in your heart, because that hearing is a seed to receive. Then you need to say it with your mouth. And after you say it with your mouth, then you'll feel it in your body, see it in your marriage, see it in your children's lives, see it in your whatever. In other words, the physical manifestation of the thing that you desire will have after you have heard, believed, and said. But we got it the other way around. We want just to pray a quick prayer without believing anything, without saying anything, without hearing anything, and it doesn't work very well. Once in a great while, God in his mercy will just answer the prayer. And I'm not saying he won't. But this is the scriptural way. Folks, this is the way you got saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this. To get saved, you must first believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And the second thing you do is say with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. You see, it's right there. And it says right there, how will they hear without a preacher? Right in that verse is where it says, faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. Right in Romans 10. It's all there. Faith comes by hearing. It says, how will they hear without a preacher? It says, the preacher's got to go. Someone's got to tell them. Then they hear with their ears what Jesus did for them on the cross. And then they believe it in their heart. And they believe in their heart that Jesus was raised from the dead. And then they say with their mouth that Jesus is now their Lord and they're saved. That's a miracle. How did they get the miracle? Well, first they had to hear something, then they had to believe something, then they had to say something. That's the way you got saved, that's the way this woman gets healed, that's the way the universe got created, that's the way things happen. That's the Bible way. If you can learn nothing else than this, as Christians, you'll be successful and apply it to your lives. Hear it, develop faith in it, say it with your mouth, comes to pass in your life. That is the law of words. Does everyone understands this, I'm pretty sure. Okay, so that's the way it works. And that's the way it worked for this woman. That's the way it worked for the Israelites. They heard something first from God. They chose not to believe that. Then they heard something negative, developed faith in that instead, said it with their mouth. And you know what they said with their mouth? They said, we wish we'd just stay in this wilderness and die. Then they go in there when we're going to get killed. And what did they get?
They got exactly what they said.
Exactly what they said.
And they died there.
They died there. Because they said, we'd rather either go back to Egypt or die right here in the wilderness. And God decided it's easier just to die right here in the wilderness all the way back to Egypt. Because they died right there. Because of what they said with their mouth. God's trying to tell us something here. And isn't that hard to figure out? Now, before we quit, I just want you to see real quickly something else, and then we'll quit. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. This to me, I went through Proverbs one time and I thought, oh my gosh, this has been in here all this time and I never saw this. I'll read these scriptures because I don't want to take too long. Proverbs 6:2, thou art snared With what?
What you say.
What you say. Thou art taken with the words of your mouth. Our words snares. Turn to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14. A man or woman shall be satisfied with good by the what? The what? The fruit of his lips. Remember I said the things that you say are seed that grows in your life, produce events. The man shall be satisfied. You want good? Then you've got to say things in line with God's word with your lips. You're going to be satisfied with good by the fruit of your mouth or your lips. What you say with your mouth is going to determine whether good or bad happens in your life. That's what this scripture says. All right? Now look at verse 18, I guess it is. There, about last half of the verse. The tongue of the wise is health. If you're wise, folks, you'll say health with your tongue about your body. You'll say healing words about your body with your tongue. You will never say things like, I'm sick, or I'm getting the flu, or something like that. That's not the tongue of the wise. That's the tongue of the foolish. The tongue of the wise is health about their body. You say helpful things about your body. Even when it doesn't feel well, say, Father, I thank you that your word says I'm healed. Satan, take your hands off my body. You're illegally trespassing on God's property here. In the name of Jesus, take your hands off. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed. You know, and quote scripture just like Jesus did to him. And he'll take his hands off your body. It isn't God that's putting sickness on it. We all know that. But the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the foolish is words of sickness and disease. Unfortunately, we got too many people saying that about their own bodies.
What was that first scripture, Mike?
Yeah. Proverbs 6:2, thou art snared by the words of your tongue. They're all in the outline. All right, now let's look at Proverbs 13:3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. That means he who keeps watch over his mouth keeps his life. Mm-hmm. But he that opens wide his lips and says any old thing shall have destruction. See? Mm-hmm. It's all tied to what we say. Not what we do. It's what we say. All right? Now look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue is a tongue that says things in line with God's word. And you do that, you're going to have life. Everything will be good in your life. All right, now look at Proverbs 16:23. We're just going through Proverbs real quickly here. The heart of the wise, I love this one, teaches his mouth. Did you know that we can teach our mouth? How would we teach our mouth? By controlling what we hear. Because you're going to say what you hear. Out of the abundance of your heart, the Bible says, your mouth will speak. Matthew 12:34. You have no choice in that matter. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Now look at 17:27. He that hath knowledge spares his words. In other words, is careful what he says. If you're smart and you've learned from the Word of God, you're not going to be a person that's just jabber, 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 jabber all the time. You're going to be careful that what you say is in line with God's Word so you don't mess up your own life. Because words have power. The law of words. Words we believe, when said with our mouth, will cause the thing we say to come to pass in our lives. Now, here's a good one. Proverbs 18, verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Not his hands, not his eyes, not his feet, his lips. What you say. And here's a kicker, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We better watch what we say. Are we saying words of life or words of death? Be real careful. And then the final scripture I'll read tonight is chapter 21, verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble.
Amen.
He who keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. So I'll end on that. Words we hear are like ammunition for a gun. Words we speak in faith pull the trigger and produce events, either good or bad, in our lives. So be careful what you hear. Hear mainly the Word of God and His promises, and then speak those words in faith in your life and pull the trigger on good things in your life. Start good things happening in your life. You want good things happening in your life? Then find out what those good promises are. Hear them, develop faith in it, and begin to say them in your life, like Madge is saying in her life right now. And she's getting some flickers of that prayer being answered in when she's watching TV here. She says, I always watch this clears up. She can read the words, it's really good. So keep saying that, Madge.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
When we speak words in faith, they always produce events corresponding to the words spoken. Remember this, words heard produce faith. And then that faith that's produced by the heard words, when combined with spoken words, produce events in our lives. Okay? That's enough for tonight. But I want you just to think about this a little bit, because this is probably one of the most important things you'll ever learn, is if you learn this. And for the people that get these tapes, they just learn the power of words in their lives. So many people, even Christians, lead lives far below what God wants them to live. And God really has no control over that, because these people keep saying things about their lives that are contrary to God's word, bringing an evil report, don't even know they're doing it, and then God can't get them out of it because what they believe in their heart, say with their mouth, must come to pass. There's a spiritual law there. So God wants them out of it. So He's telling me to go around, tell these people that the words they hear produce faith, and that faith combined with words spoken produce events, so that be sure that my children hear my words, my promises, and then speak those in faith, and then they'll have the kind of life I want them to have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
Okay, this is our homework for lesson number 5 on our series on how to spoil the devil's plan for your life. And the title of that lesson was Know the Power of Words, Part 2. All right, last week we talked about the fact that words we hear are seed planted in our heart. Then we covered words we speak are seed planted in our life. And finally, we looked at Bible examples of the law of words in operation. And we kind of came to these conclusions. Words we hear are like ammunition for a gun. Words we speak in faith pull the trigger and produce events in our lives. When we speak words in faith, they always produce events corresponding to the words spoken. For example, words heard gives faith. Faith plus words spoken yield and create events in our lives. So let's go over the homework now for lesson 5. First question. Words we hear are blank that will blank in our heart. What's the first blank? Words are seed. Words we hear are seed that will what?
Grow
in our heart. See, it's just seed. It will grow. What is the fruit of the word seed that's sown in our heart?
Faith.
Finally good. Faith. Because faith comes by what?
Hearing
what? The word of God.
Word.
Right. And you can have faith in worldly things too by hearing the word of the world, so to speak. So we're going to have one type of faith or another in our heart, depending on what we hear. Good job. All right, true or false? Words we speak in faith are seeds too. True or false?
True.
True. Good. Seed sown by my mouth produces a fruit that grows in my life called what? I mean, this. What does it produce in your life? What? That seed you hear with your ear produces a fruit called faith. Seeds then you sow with your mouth produce a fruit that grows in your life called events. That was under 2C in last week's lesson. Seed that grows in our lives produce events in our lives. So, just to sum it up, I don't want you confused. Words you hear produce faith. Then, words spoken in the faith that was created by the words you heard produce events in your life.
So if you want to control what happens in your life, you've got to go back to the very beginning and control what you heard. The law of words says that everything I say will come to pass. True or false?
False.
False. Good. I thought I'd fool you on that one. Why is it false, Marianne? Okay, that's all right. Well, let's put it this way. The law of words, now let me just quote the law of words to you, and you tell me why it's false. Jesus said this. He said, have the God kind of faith. He said, therefore I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he says shall come to pass, he shall have what he says. All right? So the law of words says that everything I say will come to pass. Okay, what's the key?
Faith.
You have to believe it in your heart. This faith, as Karen said. See, the two things that happen, the only thing that's going to cause the mountain to move is to not doubt in your heart and to believe that what you say will come to pass. So two things have to be present to cause an event. One, you have to believe it in your heart and not doubt. And two, you have to say it. Now, that's the reason mountains aren't jumping around when people speak, is because you can't have that kind of faith. I mean, that would be a faith that would be beyond that you could not have any doubt at all that when you spoke to that mountain out there, it's going to jump. I mean, you'd have to have scripture or something else that would be promises that would confirm it's going to happen. But you can have it for things like healing, because Jesus said, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. I mean, that's 1 Peter 2:24. He said that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, which included every sickness and every disease. See, now hearing those scriptures will build faith in your heart. And then when you act and speak in line with those scriptures, it will cause events to take place in your life, like healing or whatever you need. You need to find out, first of all, the scripture that covers what you want. And then you begin to say that. Okay. Because you hear the scripture, that creates the faith. You say the thing in faith, that causes it to come to pass. Okay. So that's false. The law of words doesn't say everything you say will come to pass. Just what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth will come to pass. The law of words is expressed by this scripture. What is the scripture that I just quoted just now? Does anybody know what that was? Mark, chapter 11, verse 23. Very good.
I got 12. Did I get that?
Mark 12?
Yeah.
Well,
maybe I transposed some numbers again.
11:23. That's the law of words. That was in our lesson last week on 2A, Law of Words. Blank and blank are in the power of the tongue. What two things are in the power of the tongue?
Life and death.
Life and death. Whose choice is it?
Ours.
Because we have the power to choose what to speak, don't we? So death and life are in the power of the tongue. I even gave you the scripture there, so if you didn't get that one, I don't know. Okay. Therefore, the tongue of the wise is, what is that blank?
Health.
Health. Proverbs 12:18. All we had to do is look up the scripture there. Tongue of the wise is health. So what I'm trying to say is, if death and life are in the power of the tongue, then the tongue of the wise would be health, saying healing things about your body. And how are you going to say healing things about your body? Believe healing things about your body. How are you going to believe healing things about your body? Hear healing things about your body. All right. I got saved by blank in my blank that Jesus rose from the dead. What did you get saved by blank in my blank?
I had faith and belief. I had believing in my heart.
Believing in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead. See, Romans 10:9-10 is right there. That's all we have to do is look that up. I got saved by believing in my heart that Jesus rose from the dead, and blank with my blank that Jesus is my Lord. What's this? Confess with my
mouth.
True. If you ever have to witness to somebody or want to get them saved, that's all you have to remember, is that they need to believe in their heart that Jesus rose from the dead. Ask them that, and then say, well, just now, will you take Jesus as your Lord? And they say, yes, I want to take Jesus as my Lord. That's all there is to it. Those two things, believe in their heart that Jesus rose from the dead. Once they believe that, then they need to confess with their mouth that Jesus is now their Lord. True or false, God himself used the law of words to create the universe.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that's what he did. What did he do? He believed something in his heart, his spiritual heart, and he said it with his mouth, and it came to pass. Light be, worlds be, and it happened. See, this is a universal law. That's what we call it, the law of words. It'll work for anybody. In fact, Jesus invited us. He says, do you want to have the God kind of faith? I invite you. Whosoever shall say. He didn't say, if God the Father says, if I say. He said, whosoever shall say into this mountain. That's an amazing statement. Amazing. We'll talk about it a little bit more tonight. We are blank in God's image.
Made
in God's image, or created, either one.
Repeat that again. Spirit, soul.
Right. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. We are a three-part being. We are spirits because we're created in God's image. Remember Jesus said to the, he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. And if you're going to worship God, you need to learn to worship him in spirit and truth. That's one of the reasons for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so that he gives us the spiritual language so we can worship him that way in spirit and truth. But we can worship him in spirit in English when we really get into it. So we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a house called our body. And when we die, we don't die. We are spirits. But the body that our spirit lives in ceases to function because it's got no reason to, because the spirit leaves. And that's what death is. Death is nothing to do with us dying. It has to do with our house simply ceasing to function because the thing that caused it to be alive left. That's what Jesus on the cross, it's meant when Jesus was on the cross, it says when he gave up the ghost or spirit. That's when he died. He didn't really die, but his body ceased to function. Jesus, you know, was still alive, obviously. When he left his body, he went to hell, spent 3 days there, came back, and he's been seated at the right hand of the Father ever since. All right, God is a spirit, therefore we are, we just answered that, spirits. Therefore, the law of blank works for us like it does for blank. The law of what? Words. Works for us like it does for
God.
Because we're made in God's image. See, it all ties together. Okay, true or false? Joshua and Moses were the only two who brought back a good report.
That's kind of false.
That's kind of false. Caught me on that one, didn't you? Who was it? Joshua and who?
Caleb.
Good. They're the ones that brought back the good report. The Israelites used the law of words to produce a blank future. Bad future. Good. Thank you. The woman used the law of words to produce a
good,
better future. See? It's up to us. Now, the Israelites had a choice, didn't they? They could have been like Caleb and Joshua and produced a good future for themselves. But they didn't. They chose to believe what their eyes saw instead of what God said, and they spent 40 years regretting it. According to Deuteronomy 30:19, man has a choice between blank and blank and blank and blank. God wants us to choose blank. Okay, let's try the first two. According to Deuteronomy 30:19, man has a choice between
life and death.
Life and death, and what else?
Blessing and
cursing. Therefore, God said, choose life. God's for us, you know. Some people think God's against us. You know, you hear people saying, oh, God will do this to you, or God will make you sick, or God will do that. No, God isn't that type of God. 10 of the spies brought back a blank, blank.
Bad report.
Or evil report, either one. And blank report is any report that disagrees with the blank of blank. And
evil
report is any report that disagrees with the
word
of God. Good. Words we hear about something produce blank in that thing.
Faith.
Because faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. Faith comes, learn that. Faith comes by hearing. Be careful what you hear. Words spoken in faith about something cause an blank to take place. Event to take place in our lives. Good. Thank you, Karen. Words can affect my life positively or negatively depending on what I blank and what I blank. What are the two things that depend on?
I wrote hear and see it.
Right.
Hear and read and what I say.
Right. Hear and read and what I say. Perfect. You're a good student. You're all good students. So that completes our homework for lesson 5.